Those are bad, bad. It was originally created for good. Sadly, it is in its imperfect state. The body and the soul is on still in the process of perfection. Thus, it is in an imperfect state on the way to being transformed into perfection. You don't have to be perfect to be used. You just have to be yielded to be used. And so when the soul and the body is dedicated to God, God can flow through those areas. It's not something to get rid of, which is why a wrong theology will produce a wrong kind of activities and a wrong kind of sacrifices that God doesn't require. Especially you have extremes. Especially charismatics and Pentecostals, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember reading one book. Sometimes as a joke we use that. I forgot the name. I think it's a Harvard guy. His book was King's Kids, you know. How to Live Like King's Kid in the Days of the Pentecostal Revival. He's one of those Pentecostals touched by God. And he calls his brain the EIB. See, what's that? The Educated Idiot Box. And of course, we understand that the thinking of the mind can be against God. Romans said, the carnal mind is enmity against God. But at the same time, if the mind is dedicated to God, God can use the same mind to do good things, to explain things, to understand things. The same mind can be dedicated to God. So the question is not whether the mind is evil or not, but whether the mind is dedicated to God or not. Because at all times, we need to make sure that the physical body and the soul, the spirit God already lives in our spirit, is dedicated to God. So the concept of humility is not just self-depreciation, self-degradation, self-destruction, or just self-denial. It may include some of those concepts of self-denial and self-depreciation, but it's more than that. Humility, number one, is you are who God says you are, nothing more, nothing less. And when you agree with what God says you are, as far as God is concerned, there is humility. Let me give an example of a man that you and I will have to confess that he must be humble. His name is Paul. In the Bible, he wrote nearly one third of the New Testament. Now, in this man who calls himself at some points the chief of sinners, almost in every epistle that he writes, if you read it in a natural, he introduces himself in a way that most of us would not introduce ourselves. But he sometimes introduces himself in Romans 1 verse 1. Just look at the beginning of all these letters. Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, isn't that a contradiction? On one side he says, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle. Doesn't he look proud? Have any one of you received a letter from somebody who says, you know, John Smith, a prophet of God? What's your first impression? Proud fellow. Now here is Paul, Romans 1 verse 1. And he says, first of all, he's a bondservant, slave to Jesus Christ. But he says, called to be an apostle. He's not ashamed of that. Was he humble? I have to take it that he was. And he is. Because he's a man who wrote one third of the New Testament. How dare I think of him and say, oh, what a proud man he is. Then I cannot receive any one third of the New Testament that the Lord used him to write. What about the next book in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? It says, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle. Oh, here he goes again. Is it, what is he trying to do? Well, let's look ahead to Galatians chapter 1 verse 1. If you think that was not strong enough, look at Galatians 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now he not just calls himself an apostle, he says he is an apostle not from men, but from God. If you look at it, it's easy to misunderstand that he was not being very humble. But if you read his life, he was. He was. He pleaded with people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with many tears. And these are some of the things he did. No, if you think he was proud, look at some of the things he did for the gospel, or he suffered for the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the same man we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says in verse 23, Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And he says, Who is weak and I am not weak? And this is the same man. Was he humble? I believe he was, but he is not ashamed of who Jesus made him to be. He is not ashamed of the gift of God. Now, I want to stir your spirits up at this point. If God gave you a gift and a message, give a prophecy, a gift of healings, it is not humble when you hold it back. Humility is not just being shy. Shyness is a problem in your own soul. Shyness is not humility. The world equates that and think that is humility. It is not. Because there are many in the body of Christ who dare not step out into what God gave them. They are ashamed of the gifts of God in their life. They dare not confess it boldly, nor proclaim it. That's not humility. That is a false humility. Let me show you one man who seems to do that, and he was not a humble man. And his name was Saul. In the Bible, in 1 Samuel, the Israelites were looking for a king. And Saul was a tall man. Probably good-looking, tall man. And in chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, this is his description. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. It says there was a man whose name was Kish, and he had a son. And in verse 2, He had a choice and handsome son, whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome man than he among the children of Israel. So what did I tell you? He was good looking. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So he was a tall man too. Everybody reached to his shoulders. So he would be one of those person whom the ladies are looking for. Tall, dark, and handsome. But I don't know where the ladies got that phrase from. Why not tall, bright, and handsome? Why have someone dark like Dark Vader? Right? Because they like the dark side. No, sorry. So here's Saul. He was handsome. He was tall. And he came from a good family. He came from actually a rich family. And you would think that this a person like that, you know, would be, well, he would be very balanced and well accepted, and as he is. But there's something of a flaw in his life that looks like humility, but I want you to know it is not. Anyway, the story goes, he was anointed to be the next king. He was anointed to be king. And when he came and met Samuel in chapter 9, verse 19, Samuel introduced himself. I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go, and will tell you all that is in your heart. He was searching for a donkey. But as for your donkeys, he says, they were lost 3 days ago. Do not be anxious. They have been found. So let's not worry about your donkey anymore. Let's talk about you. Who, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? Right. No, he didn't say that. That's from another part. That's from the children's book. Now, what did Saul say in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21? Look at what Saul said. And remember, as I read it, the question I'm asking you, is this humility? Look at verse 21. Saul said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then do you speak to me like this? In other words, I don't deserve this. Oh, no, 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 no. This is not for me. Oh, I cannot take it. No, no, no. I don't deserve this. I'm just one of the smallest tribes, from the smallest family. But he's a very tall fellow. He's a handsome fellow. He was a rich family. Was that humility? Nope. It was a problem with his own ability to accept himself. Humility does not mean that you don't accept yourself as you are. This is not humility. How do we know? When he became king, he was a very proud king. He did things that, you know, David would never do. Because hidden behind all the facade of human, soul, social humility, as we call it, is a heart of pride and rebellion that only God saw. Now, on the day when he was to be announced as a king, and all the people were gathered together. Remember, his head and shoulders above everyone, so it would be very easy to see him in a crowd. All the people were gathered together. And